away from USC and UCLA joining the Big Ten and Gary Payton joining the Portland Trailblazers are the San Francisco Giants. We had two off days this week. Wow, Monday and Thursday. We'll see how that hopefully helps them as they go into a home series with the Chicago White Sox. Alex Cobb gets the ball tonight against Lance Lynn, old veteran Lance Lynn, still doing it for the White Sox. And we have Mike Kruko on the UMA guest line, who we saw on Wednesday. Yeah. So we want to say it was great to see you, Mike. Good morning. How are you?
Hey, Kruko.
Yeah, I was great. And the book you guys brought, you and Brad, oh, my goodness. That's all I've done the last day, just sit there and go over it. It's amazing.
Well, I sure do appreciate that, and you guys are the ones. You close out the book. Kruko and Kipe have the final essay in there. So that's how powerful your words are, Mike.
Well, we were flattered to be in there at all, but the fact that you spent the time, put it all together, and the pictures that Brad came up with to compliment the stories is just remarkable. We all love Buster Posey, look it, but it's nice to be reminded in so many very cool ways by so many people just how special he was and how much he meant to all of us. So congratulations, and I encourage everybody to get one and get it on your coffee table, because it's a book that you'll go to many times.
Sure do appreciate those words, Mike, very much. The book's called 28, and you can pre-order it now. And by the way, just to kind of name drop here, Brad and I are delivering the books to 28 himself today. So we'll say hi for you.
We'll do that and tell him that we miss him, will you? Because we do.
Yeah, I will for sure. Meanwhile, he's going to wonder how the Giants do against the White Sox tonight. And so what do you think about two home off days, Mike? I mean, what does that do for a ball player?
Well, I think it energizes everybody. So, you're going to come into tonight's ball game with a rested team, especially a rested bullpen. And I think, as you get into July, those days are important, because from here on out, I mean, they get to the All-Star break without an off day. And then after that, there aren't a lot of off days in July. So take advantage of the time that you have and spend it with your family. And just heal up. Like Kipe used to say, all I wanted to do as a regular player when I got an off day is get off my feet. Mm-hmm. So for Kipe, that meant a bag of chips, a sofa, and a TV, and he was good. Absolutely golden. But it's a point. Get off your feet. Just you're on your legs so much as a player, and one day off, especially, young guys in great shape, it doesn't take much to rejuvenate the batteries, and that's what this week has really done for this team.
So, Mike, you've been in the booth for this homestand, and you've got to see this team, and they're not playing their best ball right now. They lost 2 or 3 to the Reds. They split 2 with the Tigers. When you look out at the diamond, what are you seeing?
Well, I see a team that when they play well, they can play with anybody, and they've proven that. I think they're 500 against teams with records above 500. That's very good. But when they don't play well, they have a hard time beating anybody. And they've had some inconsistencies getting it going. I think they've been stunted a little bit with their momentum to get it going with injury, and some other guys just can't get it going. So we're getting close to literally the first half of the season, and guys are looking at their numbers, going, man, what's going on? So it becomes a very critical month, the month of July, because it determines your future into August and September. And that's where they're at right now. They're still looking for that chemistry, that rhythm that catches and puts them on a good run.
Yeah, they are. They need something just kind of to click right now. And you thought maybe the Reds and the Tigers coming in, but that's been actually a theme this year, Mike, is that while they are over 500 as a team, they've actually had a little bit of trouble with the lesser teams. I think the old phrase is playing down to your competition, but I know you guys have all respect in the world for every big leaguer. Everybody who makes the show is a big leaguer, right? So how do you kind of marry those two thoughts of, like, playing down to your competition versus respecting every big leaguer?
Well, I think the phrase playing down to your competition is unrealistic, because they are big leaguers. And you have to have chemistry. You have to have that feeling that you're going to win. You have to have the production that gives you that confidence as a team against every team on any day. Because anybody can shove it up your nose. Look, what we've seen from Cincinnati and what we've seen from the Detroit these first two series in this homestand, the Reds had great starting pitching, and the Giants couldn't figure it out. Ashcraft couldn't figure them out. They got stuffed in Cincinnati. They got stuffed here. You know what Ashcraft did yesterday? He pitched against the Cubs, gave up 7 runs in like 2 1/3 or something. He got torched. But they couldn't figure him out. And then the bullpen for Detroit. You get past the fifth inning and you're behind with Detroit, good luck with that, Ben. They're tough. So So bottom line is, you know, it's not playing down. It's playing to your capabilities. That's how a big league clubhouse looks at it. Let's take care of our act. If we take care of our act, then everything falls into place. Everything is solved. We don't play down to anybody. We play our game, and then we can roll. But, you know, again, if you don't like it, you can always join the Big Ten.
How about that, Mike? We talked about that all morning long. As a Californian, a native Californian, grew up in Southern California in the shadow of the Rose Bowl, what'd you think?
Disgusting. No concern for history whatsoever. None. Zero. An absolute slap in the face. And they keep saying it's for the good of our students. That's crap.
Yeah.
It's self-promotion, and it's for money.
Well, that's money.
Story.
Yeah, it's money. There's no question. That's it. It's money.
Money.
I don't think they're making any bones about it either. They're
saying basically double the money, right?
Yeah. They're going to get $100 million a year from media rights versus $50 million, Mike.
Yeah.
I don't care. What's more important, history?
Right. Yeah.
Or $100 million? $100 million is piddly. You start talking about the history of the Pac-8, 10, and 12. It's just absolute BS that they're walking out.
Well, to me, too, if the realest thing is the student-athlete. I mean, if you ever believed in a student-athlete, now they're just telling kids, you know, whatever happened to class time, because they're going to be flying around the country.
No, it's disgusting, and I can't even read the articles. I get halfway into it, and I get so mad. That's it. I'm done. I'm over it.
All right. I hear you. We'll move on to the next.
What is Bill Walton going to say now? What is Bill Walton going to say? How can he say the Conference of Champions now?
We said the same thing, Mike. We were talking about Walton.
We actually said that this morning. He can't say that. Honestly. He can't say it anymore. No, he cannot. But obviously, a different topic for a different day.
All right.
Back to the Giants, Mike. Susan Slusser had an interesting piece this week on Evan Longoria. I don't know if you got a chance to read it. Where he, you know, at the end of his contract, the club has a decision to make, and he has a decision to make, and he was saying, you know, he thinks about it. He thinks about his family. He thinks about how long he wants to keep going. Now, obviously, the guy can play. Hit a home run on Wednesday, but I don't know if you read the piece and thought about, you know, Evan Longoria's sort of the stage he's at in his career.
It gets to you. You know, your children get to a certain age, and, you know, when you leave to go on a road trip or a long road trip or you're gone away from them, because a lot of guys, when the children get older, they'll nestle into a city and then they'll leave the house to go to spring training, the family, because kids are in school and they've got their own lives starting. You know, you go away oftentimes the whole spring training and for long periods of time. And that's the thing. The periods of time away from your family increase, and it wears you down. And the other thing, too, is we don't know. I mean, just how good he feels getting in that uni every day. It doesn't get easier. So it is something that he's going to have to wrestle. Look, he loves the game. We all know watching him that he's a baseball player. And it's really hard for those type of guys to leave the game. I mean, he's not in this for the cash. I mean, he just loves playing. Obviously a professional athlete is in it for the cash. Don't get me wrong. I'm not insulting anybody here. But you get the feeling with him that the number one priority is the game. And I love those guys. We all have enjoyed watching this guy play. I mean, he plays beautiful baseball. But he's going to have to answer that question. Is it worth it? I mean, the one thing about this generation of players, they do make some bank, large bank. And it does enable them to leave the game a little bit earlier and not come back as a coach or as a front office person because they've made so much money. They don't have to do that. I mean, it's completely different with this generation to earlier generations. You left the game as a player. I mean, you looked to have a job as a coach because you needed it. You needed the money. So I just don't know what he's going to do. I think it's going to be a hard decision for him.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
It is going to be interesting to watch, and we'll watch his production, too, in the second half of the season and how his body holds up and how the Giants do. That might have some bearing on the whole thing. A couple other notes, Mike, sort of with an off day to get to. One is the All-Star game, and they have changed the voting. So they have phases now, and they ended phase one yesterday, and they gave the top vote-getters an honorary start. So Aaron Judge of the American League and Ronald Acuna Jr. of the National League are the top vote-getters. Hard to argue with that. And Jock Peterson, the only Giant to advance in the voting. Just to see him listed in the top six National League outfielders, Mike, your thoughts?
Well, I love it, and it tells you that not only is he appreciated here in San Francisco, but he's appreciated, you know, around the league. Obviously, I would imagine he's getting a lot of Dodger votes, Brave votes, and Cub votes away as well because of how he plays the game and what fan bases recognize when they watch him play the game. You have fun watching him have fun. So I hope it continues. I'd love to see him strap it on in L.A. I know it would mean a whole lot to him.
What's interesting is the guys he's up against, Mookie Betts, obviously, Starling Marte, a guy people, I think, sleep on a little bit, and then shows how popular the Braves are right now after winning the World Series, Adam Duvall, Mike. That's the competition.
Well, they're all worthy, and that's what I love about All-Star teams. You know, you don't have anybody that gets onto an All-Star team that doesn't belong to be there. You always have guys that don't get there that deserve to be there, but the guys that make it, nobody ever questions that, and that's one of the things I really love about the All-Star game. It's a very special day.
It's true that baseball All-Stars tend to get it the most right, for sure. And then the other big story that happened over the week, and as an old right-hander, maybe you could appreciate the Mark Appel story. Mike, I don't know how close you followed it. Hey, Danville guy, Monta Vista High School in Danville, Stanford, number one pick in the draft, and then, of course, it doesn't work out. Injuries, injuries, injuries. He winds up retiring, never makes the show. 2018, he retires. Wait, 2021, he comes back, Mike, works his way back, and then gets the call-up, trots on the field in 2022, 9 years after he gets drafted. Says he's fighting back tears the whole time. One of these movie scenes. I wondered, Mike, you as you read that, did you get all the feels?
Oh, yeah. Stories of perseverance, we all love. And the one thing that we all can imagine is what it's like to be the number one pick, to be the guy, because there's a target on your back that there's no room for it on the uniform. Everybody's gunning for you. The expectations are off the chart. And when you disappoint, you live with that disappointment. And I mean, that's a decade where he's had to wrestle with that. That's awful. And yet he persevered. There was a point in time, I would imagine, that he just said, to heck with it. I'm doing this for myself. But the reality of it is you never can do that when you're the first pick. And yet he persevered. And when he got on that mound and he threw his first pitch, and then when he got his first strikeout, they tossed the ball aside. That had to be overwhelming. That had to be overwhelming because he finally got to stand on top of the mountain and plant the flag. And I just felt really good for the guy because, you know, everybody says he's a great guy. And he had to have been to be able to persevere through this because, man, once you walk away from the game, it is so incredibly hard to come back. For him to come back, here's the resounding theme of today's discussion. He didn't come back for the money. He came back just to say he did it, just to justify the pick.
Yeah.
And I think, to a degree, he did, at least to himself.
It reminded me, Mike, of that movie The Rookie with Dennis Quaid. You see that one?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where a guy just kind of comes out of nowhere and gets that one shot, you know? I mean, listen, Dennis Quaid wasn't the number one pick in that movie or the character that Dennis Quaid, but just getting that moment, you know? I mean, you know, you had a long career, and I don't know what's going to happen to Appel. Maybe he will have a long career, maybe he won't, but it's like that Moonlight Graham where you just get that moment, that one chance.
Well, I hope he pitches till he's 45, but look, baseball has embraced that story forever. Joe Hardy and damn Yankees, and then and what about the natural? You know,
yeah.
Come on,
yeah.
It's all about a guy who had everything.
Good call.
And then and he made a show in 1 year, so yeah, I love it. It's a great story, and I wish him well. I
was thinking about that, like guys who the natural, playing deep into your life. We were talking to Sean Essex yesterday about the Pablo Sandoval blow up of the catcher that we talked about with you when you talked that he was going 285. Just talking about guys who just never stop playing the game.
They're out there. Bartolo Colon was pitching till whatever, 45.
Julio Franco comes to mind. And even Ricky Henderson was playing independent league ball as long as he could, Mike.
Bill Lee. Two words.
Oh!
Bill Lee's in his 70s and he's still pitching.
Mike, he pitched summer for Eric Burns.
I have a statue of Bill Lee in my house that I worship every day.
Seriously.
Here I'm walking around with a cane and here he is going out there and he's still getting guys out. I mean, I love that. It takes time. And time proves as to who the baseball players are. Jim Barr pitched into his mid-60s. I mean, in senior league. He walked out of Major League Baseball, went right to the senior league, had a ball doing it. I mean, serious business. I love that. You know, and they still have you know, there's the league when you're in to get to the big leagues where your stuff is, your equipment is scruffy.
Yeah.
You got an old glove, you got an old pair of shoes, and for a pitcher, you have duct tape covering the toe that you drag when you're on the mound. You know, and then you get to the big leagues and everything's new and fresh, you know, and when you're there, you're putting boxes of that stuff away. And then when it ends, you go into the senior leagues, and guess what? There comes a point in time where you have to break out the duct tape to cover up your toe again if you play long enough. And that's Bill Lee, and that's Jim Barr, and that's these guys that keep playing, man. To me, there's nothing better than that, to see a guy who played the game because he loved to play the game.
So great. By the way, have you encountered Bill the Spaceman Lee in conversation or at, you know, gatherings?
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely, man. He's nuttier than an out-of-house rat. But he's so refreshing. He's so sincere.
Yeah.
I
had the great fortune to run into him at T&B Sports in San Rafael once, nice. Mike. I was feeding from the palm of his hand. He tells stories like no other. Like,
oh,
you.
Right?
He's like you, Mike.
Cool.
Oh,
yeah. He's genuine, man. He's unique. He's a complete. He is a unicorn. That guy is a unicorn.
Told me a story, like he always kept a Greg Nettles card in his wallet. He hated Greg Nettles the most, and he always wanted Greg Nettles to be kissing his A every time he sat down. That's why he kept it in the wallet.
Oh, that's great. Oh,
that's... There's a guy who sat there around the candle one night on the front porch going, yeah, that's what I'm going to do. And you know what? He did.
That's good.
He pulled it. Go online to buy one.
He pulled it out. Yeah. He said he showed it. He goes, every time I sit down, Greg Nettles is kissing my A.
Yeah, that's perfect. You know what? Come to think of it, I got a few guys I could do that.
I bet, Mike.
Make a bathrobe out of it.
Yeah, nice.
All right, off we go. Fireworks tonight, 4th of July weekend. The Murphy family will be out there Sunday. We'll wave at you. And Giants White Sox, let's go. We'll talk to you, Mike. So we'll talk to you Tuesday because of the holiday. Have a great weekend. Happy 4th.
Yeah. Got a bit.
Mike Kruko, you are listening to KMBR and KMBR FM, San Francisco, the sports leader at Cumulus Media Station. True story, Paulie.
Great stuff.
He goes, yeah, this guy goes, yeah, I hate it. He goes, I'm blanking. Hated Greg Nettles.
So there's footage out there. Marcus, you might want to check this out. Bill Lee was in one of those like truly epic Red Sox-Yankee brawls where these things were like bar fights. These things were no joke. And I think it was number 76 or 76. You've probably seen this one. Bill Lee gets caught up in it. I don't even know if he was pitching.
I don't think I've seen it.
Well, he gets really messed up. I think his shoulder, this is how violent the fight was. I think his shoulder gets separated during the fight because he comes crawling out. It's a, dude, you got guys like Thurman Munson out there throwing overhand rights. I mean, it was a real brawl. And then you see Bill Lee come out like literally holding his shoulder up like he got knocked out of its socket. I don't know that he was. Like, he was still looking for more. Like, he's holding his shoulder up, but he was still, like, talking smack to guys.
You talking about a late 70s Yankees brawl just makes me think of your George Brett impression.
Oh, no, it was a bloodbath. Yeah, no, what I did was, like, I came out with my spikes up, and Nettles didn't like it. Just,
if we missed it, we had George Brett on about 3 weeks ago. He was fantastic, and Paulie asked him, what was it like? You and the Yankees had such a spirited rivalry. What was it?
No hesitation.
What was it like playing them at Yankee Stadium? And his one-word answer to Paulie was, he goes, oh, it was a bloodbath.
Oh, with no hesitation. Well, the Yankee ball is a bloodbath.
It's a bloodbath.
Yeah. Then he talked about the really famous fight with Nettles once again.
But his just opening gambit was,
bloodbath. Right out of the boom. No, bloodbath. Matter of factly. Yeah. Well, George Brett's one of those guys.
He was walking his dog on a hot and humid Kansas City day. Listening to Paulie Mac's question, and he heard the question. He's walking his dog through the park. He was just saying, oh, bloodbath.
No, it really was. And again, the thing is, Marcus, they would empty the dugouts. Man. Guys would be punching each other in the face. No joke. No ejections. No fines.
So funny,
no nothing.
Yeah.
And then they go finish the game.
That's it. Get back on base, man. We're going to play this out.
Get back up on that launching pad. All right, off we go. Let's do top 6 sports stories. Cooler of content. Man, the morning was dominated by the USC-UCLA news, and it's good to get back on. I know.
Well, dude.
We want the smoke, dude. We're coming to East Lansing.
We're coming,
for the smoke.
Dude. Yeah. Get ready, Badgers. We're coming.
Tell Magic Johnson he don't want this smoke, dude.
All right.
Tell Draymond Green.
Yeah.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.